Hello everyone, welcome to our Shir and Mishnayos. We are holding a Masechta Shavuos, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Ches. It says, the following people will swear literally without a claim. And it means to say, we'll see in the Rav, that even though the one claiming is not certain of the claim, we'll see in what the scenario is. The following people will swear despite that the other claimant is not certain. Hashutafin, partners, I reason, that's called sharecroppers, which I don't use that term as much in English, but it refers to when a person owns a field and he allows another person to work that field for a certain cut of the crops, either in percentage or a set amount. For apotropin, apotropin means a representative, a person who represents orphans or such, someone who can't represent themselves. For isha hanoses vanosenes besoch habayis, and really a woman who is doing business, you know, giving and taking. Basically she's going to have a store or whatever within her house. But Ben Abayis and someone who lives in the house of Ben Abayis, probably a brother, we'll see. Amar lo, ma'ata to'aneni. One would say to another, what are you claiming to me? Ritzonei shiti shava li. I want that you should swear to me. Chayev, you'll be liable to that. Choko ashutafin v'hai risin, ein nocho lashpi. If the partners or the sharecroppers divided, whatever they would divide, he cannot make him swear. Again, we're going to see in the Rav what all these cases are. If the Shvuah came to him from another place, it's called Gilgul Shvuah, meaning when one is chayav, one Shvuah, so then he can throw on top of that other Shvuahs, which he would not have been chayav otherwise, being that he's already taking a Shvuah, which is chayav, and he'll take another one, so that's called Gilgul Shvuah. Then you can throw on top of him, you could megagal on him, roll on top of him, you know, all sorts of Shvuahs. And Shmita, year, wipes out the Chiyuv Shvuah. So let's see what's going on. It says the Rav. The following people swear, Shalom Betaina. Says the Rav, Shalom Betaina Zibari, Allah Betaina Shema. They'll swear even though the claimant isn't certain of the facts. He's not, you know, you certainly owe me $100, whatever it be. He's saying, I think, perhaps, it seems that way. Shito'ano Shema Akavta Mishli. Maybe you're holding something back of mine. Amishum the Kalani Moru Heter, the Atzmam. And because all of these people that we're saying have to swear, they will rationalize to themselves keeping something that's not theirs because they have put in so much effort in the property at hand. The rabbi said that they indeed do have to take a shvuah to counteract that rationalizing that may have caused them to actually steal something. So the first case in the Tafan of our reasons, I doesn't talk about that. Basically, it would be, we'll just speak it ourselves, that a shutafon would mean that you have people that are partners in an item that obviously divide up business or divide up ownership of something. And it could be if a person puts in, you know, to the item or to the business some sort of effort and feels that he wasn't properly rewarded, he'll keep something that isn't his. So in that, if the other shutav would suspect him of such, or the aris, the sharecropper, whatever the deal would be, one suspects the other of that, he actually make the other one swear with that simple claim, because again, it's likely that people who put into a business partnership, whatever it would be, a lot of effort, they may actually hold something back that's not kiddin. So that's the first case. This is for apotropin. What's apotropin? Shnis askiv mamon adam, v'hachnis lehotzi lisavliti. They get involved in the money of another person, that they bring it in, they take it out. I think that means they invest it or they collect. Lisavliti, and they do business transactions with other people's money for them on their behalf. But if we were talking about a regular apotropos over here, apotropos of orphans, which is the simple meaning, says the Rav, no, I mean, no, based in Yeshava. Only if based in had appointed that apotropos to represent the orphans, then they would swear. But if the father trusted him, the father trusted this representative for his orphans before he passed away, then they wouldn't have to swear. So our case in the Mishnah could be referring to either type, but in the case where it's representing orphans, only if the based in appointed them. Otherwise, it just means a representative of another person financially. Means her husband appointed her literally as a storekeeper in the house, or appointed her as representative of his property. So then also she might have put in, or these apotropes and whatever it would be, might have put in effort into the business, these items, and at some point something came their way that wasn't theirs, but they kept it feeling they needed to be paid back. Ben Abayis, what's Ben Abayis? That means one brother of others, of a number of brothers, that was more involved in the property of their father than the others. Again, he might take Shaloki did. So now the Mishnah says, Right? He says to him, what are you claiming from me? I mean, any of these cases, take them and set up a scenario. What are you claiming from me? What are you claiming? And he says, I want you to swear to me. I want you to swear that you didn't hold up back anything that's not mine, because I suspect you that you did. Right? So he's chayav. That's all it has to be. I don't know for a fact that you have anything in mind, but the circumstance would lead to it may have happened, and you have to swear to me. Then the Mishnah says, a little bit of a different case, choku. What if they divided the shutafin, or the harisin divided the dividends as it was set up? And whatever that division was, however it was set up, they did it, and the party that suspected the other one didn't make him swear at that time. So there, the Mishnah says you can't make him swear. The time has passed now. But if nisgalgalos lo shvua etzlam achrei, but if I'm one of those partners or one of those sharecropper parties had a shvua come to him afterwards from some unrelated matter, unrelated thing, megalgalos gam ezu olos, you can put this shvua on him also. Once he's swearing, put this one that he wasn't chayav to do, put it on him also. Hey, by the way, I also swear they didn't hold back any of Plony's money. Gedera shemegalgalos b'shvua satora u'b'shvua shehi ke'enshel torah. Same way the idea of Gilgul Shvua exists from a Shvua's Dereisa or a Shvua similar to a Dereisa, so too in a Shvua's Hesus, a Shvua's clear, only with the Rabbanim, you can do it also. Shvius, the Mishnah said, the Mishnah ended with, Shvius, Mishnah Metis as a Shvua, the Shvius wipes out a Shvua. Lav Ahana Shvua's to Shutaf and Kai. This is not going back on our Mishnah, we're talking about Shvua's between different partnerships. The Ha Ein Shvius, Mishnah Metis Shutvis, Philo Shvua's up. Shmuita will never wipe out the partnership deal that exists, nor will it wipe out any shvuas pertaining to it. Hello, malveh u'shvuasahi mishametis. Milveh should say alone. We know this is such a principle that the shmuita here will wipe out a loan that hadn't been paid back. So if it does, it will also wipe out any shvuas that are associated with it. Do one more mishnah. Perek shmini, perek ches, mishnah alf. Arba shomim hein. There are four types of shomim. We know this mishnah from other parts in the Zikin talks about a lot, about the common center. There are four types of shomer. There's a shomer chinam, that's a free watcher, watches it and doesn't get paid, watches whatever the item is. That shoel, that's a borrower, he's obviously using the item. No se socher means pashas, he's getting paid to watch the item. Socher is a debate in the Gemara of how to categorize him, but the word means that he's renting the item. Shomer chinam nishba al kol, says our Mishnah, the shomer chinam always has to swear and won't pay then for whatever happened. And if he's watching an item and it got, according to him, stolen, lost, fell apart, he can swear to whatever it is, whatever the case would be, any circumstance, and he won't have to pay for the item. A shoel is a borrower. He always has to pay no matter what he claims. He'll never be off the hook for anything that happens to the item. This Tana puts together, Nosei Socher and Socher go together. A person who's being paid to watch an item and a person who rented an item, they will swear if they say that the item broke or if the item was captured or if the item died, I'm talking about an animal, whatever it be. Mashalman and Saveda, the second name, but they would pay if they say that the item was lost or stolen, they would pay for the item. Okay, this Mishnah, I think, is entirely taught about the Kama. Let's see what the Rav has to say. I brought Shomim him, the Dinaim Shlosha. There are four shomim, and then the Rav here, this comment to the Rav I have in brackets, so maybe it doesn't exist in every version of the Rav, but it says that the dinim of the four shomim only divide into three separate categories. It's Nosei Socher, he's a shomer besocher, he's guarding for pay. Nishba lokol, that's going about shomer chinam, he swears on everything. Shelo posha, all he has to swear is that he was not poshea, he didn't do anything negligent with the item, it was not directly a result from his misbehavior that something happened with the item, and then he will be off the hook. But a shoel is mishalim. It's a kol. Kolanach detaninu masis. In all of these cases, these rules that we're teaching in our Mishnah, shavuya ushur omesa ganeva aveda. Yeah, the shoel would pay all of those cases. Avol mesa machmas melacha ena mishalim. There's one case a shoel will not pay. That's if, let's say, he borrowed a cow and it died from normal usage, from normal work. He doesn't pay for that. Because obviously he didn't borrow the item just to let it stand there in the pen. He borrowed it to be used. He was using it in a regular way, and it fell apart, he won't pay for that. This Mishnah is explained very clearly, but Makama and the parrot call it Sochias HaPoel. Okay, pretty clear enough. Why it's taught here is a bit of a good question. Probably, one could say, it's taught over here because it's going to be an introduction to the Mishnahs we're going to teach. The Mishnahs we're going to teach are going to be about the different Shomim, when they pay and when they swear. That much rules over here, obviously. So, this is a bit of an introduction to first get a clear categorization of what the four shomim are. And then we'll follow up by teaching more about them. So let's do one more. Why not? Mishnah base. Amar l'shom rechinim. Hey, chan shari. A person says to the shom rechinim, meaning the owner of the item, let's call him Reuven, says to the shom rechinim, the person he asked to watch the item for free. He says, where is my shor? Amar lo. He says to him, mace, it died. Hushin nishbar, nishbo, nignav, o avad. But in reality, what happened, they found out after the fact, let's say, through Aden, they found out actually the item didn't die, but something else happened to it. It was broken, it was captured, it was stolen, it was lost. Any of the other things the Shomer Chinam would also swear about and be putter. Yeah? Nishbar, let's say he said that it broke. Fusha Mesa Nishba O Nignav O Avad. And again, one of the other four things happened to it that again would have him be putter. Nishba, he says it was captured. Fusha Mesa Nishbar O Nignav O Avad. And, but in reality, it died or it was broken or stolen or lost. Another exact same thing. Switch around these five different things, any combination you want. Nignav, say he said it was stolen. Hushim Eso Nishbar Nishbo Avad. And in reality, it died or was broken or was captured or was lost. Avad, or he said it was lost. Hushim Eso Nishbar Nishbo Nignav. And in reality, it was killed, it was died or it was broken or captured or stolen. So that was literally five scenarios that are the same thing. He claims one of the five things he would swear to and be putter for paying for, and it was one of the other ones that actually happened. Mashpiach HaMeiv Amar Amen. He says, do you swear? And he says, Amen. No, he's actually lying, but he's not lying in a way that would make any consequence. So, Potter. It says the Rav here, pretty straightforward idea here. We basically spelled it out. Amar Amen, Potter. She'ilu hoza la'ayim shalim klum. Even if he would have admitted to the truth, he wouldn't have paid anything anyway. Thereby, even though he took a false shvua, it was a veira, he lied, but there was no denial of money. His false claim did not add up to him keeping money that otherwise would not have kept. Even though he swore falsely, he's not chayv to be in the korban shvua that we've been speaking about, only when his lie amounts to a denial of money that he was actually chayv. So too, a judge cannot force a person to swear unless it's on something that if he would admit to it, he would have to pay. And currently, he's claiming something that would potter. Thank you for listening. We'll continue next time.